But we're going to start off right here with Federal News Radio's Max Kakis. Both the full House of Representatives and the Senate Armed Services Committees recently approved different versions of the Defense Authorization Bill. The two versions contain provisions that directly impact how the Pentagon buys everything, from paper clips to diesel oil to run big weapon systems. Very, very important bills. And now a trade group representing acquisition professionals is weighing in with their concerns about the Defense Authorizations Bill. Earlier today, Federal News Radio's Max Kakis spoke with Stan Soloway. He, of course, president of the Professional Services Council. And when we talked, he talked to him about the two defense bills. And Mr. Soloway ticked off the areas of concern that the two bills have for the Professional Services Council.
One would be around the whole question of insourcing, which has, of course, been a hot topic for years, and it reemerged as a hot topic again this past year. The House bill actually, the House passed version of the Defense Authorization Bill actually has three different insourcing provisions. One actually is a reasonably okay provision. It would actually prohibit DOD from establishing quotas for insourcing. And there is some evidence that is happening now within DOD as a result of both a set of budget and personnel requirements, really not focused on kind of strategic management of either resources or people. The other two are strictly political amendments, one by John Sarbanes of Maryland, another one from Mr. Perriello of Virginia. The Sarbanes amendment would actually make permanent law this strong preference to insource any work that's deemed to be in any number of categories and so forth. It's very problematic from the perspective of what it's going to drive agencies toward and the message it's sending. And the Perriello Amendment is sort of an interesting one in that it says that in considering the relative costs of private sector versus public sector performance, the government cannot consider the difference in costs for healthcare or other benefits, which is a bit absurd since, number one, it's a significant cost element. But second, more importantly, the amendment doesn't talk to the quality of benefits, doesn't talk to the quality of healthcare, doesn't talk to the quality of other benefits that might be available in a menu that employees choose from. So their healthcare costs may be relatively low if they're a young employee and they may choose to use their benefit dollars elsewhere. So it's a very narrow amendment, narrowly focused. And the key with both the Sarbanes and Perriello amendments is that they are significant in the sense that they're continuing to try to set policy, yet they've been exposed to virtually no sunshine, no sunlight, no discussion. And I think the greatest concern we have is that Congress appropriately continues to look at acquisition and government sourcing policy, but when there are some significant amendments, they get tacked on through the rules process in the House, and there's virtually no discussion about the impacts or the unintended consequences. And it's concerning. We have an enormous fiscal problem in government, and there's no focus on the part of folks like Mr. Sarbanes or Mr. Perriello on the fiscal implications of what they're talking about, the implications in their own districts, which have substantial small business and others that are being impacted by this. So I think the biggest concern there, to sort of be a little bit more concise and apologize for the long answer, is that these are fairly significant issues which are not getting the appropriate attention and level of discussion and debate that they merit.
Okay. And over on the Senate side, the Armed Services Committee has passed its version of the Defense Authorization Bill. Do you have any concerns over on the other side of the Hill?
Well, I think the Senate side for the Authorization Bill, there's not a lot of high concern issues. I think that there's a seemingly innocuous provision that could have some unintended consequences. We're still trying to figure out its genesis, and that has to do with audits of business systems. It gets fairly technical. It's helpful on some levels, not clear on other levels. There is a provision in the Senate bill that would allow the Secretary of Defense, in looking at the performance of companies operating overseas, to make a determination of company fault or individual fault of an individual working for a company where individuals might be injured or killed in the course of performing their work. Obviously, that's a significant issue when that happens, but it seems to us to be completely inappropriate to have the Secretary of Defense making those kinds of determinations when we have an entire adjudicative process, an investigative process, which ought to be exercised and which ought to lead us through the due process to the right answer. But this provision would actually allow the Secretary to make the determination, would allow him to ferret out and assign fault, and then that information would go into the what's called the Federal Acquisition Performance an integrity information system to be used in future contract decisions. And when you're dealing with something as significant and as sensitive as bodily harm or death even, that really ought to be something that's very carefully looked at through the judicial process and not through by an appointed political office. I'm not suggesting the secretary make a political decision, but it's just not the right venue for it.
Stan Soloway, he, of course, president of the Professional Services Council, speaking to Federal News Radio's Max Kakis, who joins me right here now live in studio with more. So there were a couple other provisions that you talked to him about and are in their assessment. Mm-hmm. One is it called FAPIS?
Yeah, and actually he started to talk a little bit about that there. I just realized that going past there. But it's a provision, and we can tell you a little bit more about it now, Chris. This is a provision about FAPIS. This is that database that they've set up to try and measure performance by federal contractors. And one of the provisions, which is in the supplemental authorization bill, has to do with making public action reports, as they call them, situations where the actions of a contractor could lead to a serious bodily injury or even death to a civilian military. This is, of course, a congressional reaction to the concern about that whole situation with Blackwater in Iraq.
Yeah, the guards that aren't employees of the United States. Yeah.
Right, but who provide contract or security under contract to the State Department. And Mr. Soloway's concern regarding the way that this bill treats that publication of that information is that a lot of it is proprietary, but at the same time, the important parts that the bill wants to put in and make available to the public is already public, and it's just not in an openly available form. He thinks that some of that proprietary information that's very competitive and that has to do more with pricing and a lot of the concerns that have to do with the cost of one type of a contractor as opposed to another type of a contractor would inadvertently get out, put the companies that are doing that kind of business at a competitive disadvantage. And so he questions the need for this kind of provision. I thought it was kind of interesting, too, that he was questioning some of the provisions that were over on the House side of the bill that he says haven't been exposed to enough rigorous scrutiny in terms of hearings and things like that. There are some provisions in the bill that the rules of the House of Representatives are a little bit different from the rules of the Senate, in that it is possible when the bill comes into the Rules Committee, where they define the shape of the debate, it is possible to add amendments in the Rules Committee. And in this case, a couple of congressmen, one of whom, John Sarbanes, from Maryland, we speak to him quite often about matters that have to do with acquisition and personnel and teleworking and Lord knows what else. But he had a provision inserted into the House version of the appropriations bill that has to do with the defense authorization bill here. So some concerns, there's still some give and take. The Senate bill is on the calendar now and is expected to be considered before the August recess. And then after that, it gets together with House bill that's been considered and they go into what's called conference and then the real fun starts.
Yeah, and they have to have a conference committee. So this bill is going to get passed at some point, right?
Right. And it's one of those must-pass bills that the government is very hard-pressed to continue operating, especially an agency as big as the Defense Department, without an authorization bill.
Someday, maybe when we're at some point, you can explain to me the difference between the authorization bill and the appropriations bill.
Boy, we could have a whole hour-long program.
I've never really quite understood it, and I've been doing this for a couple of years, but it's still a little baffling to me.
I'll be happy to come in and talk to you about that anytime.